Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Nip Tuck Coach Radio, your cosmetic surgery connection. Join cosmetic surgery Nip Tuck Coach, beauty expert, and author of Safety First, A Consumer Guide to Cosmetic Surgery, Michelle Garber, your host of the Nip Tuck Radio Show. Michelle's goal is to empower listeners and help them make safe cosmetic surgery procedure choices. This fun and lively show explores the world of beauty and cosmetic surgery and features expert guests on a variety of topics. No hype. Your host, Michelle Garber, is here today to help you navigate the confusing world of cosmetic surgery.
Hi, this is Michelle Garber, your host, and we are broadcasting live this beautiful sunny afternoon from San Francisco. As a Nip Tuck coach, or as someone has called me recently, a plastic surgery cop, my goal is to help you navigate through the confusing world of cosmetic surgery by keeping you safe and well-informed so that not only do you get a great result, but you get the best result. I'm also the author of Safety First, the 10 Golden Rules for Safe Cosmetic Surgery, which you can download for free at my website at www.niptuckcoach.com. Today our focus is on nutrition and how to stay healthy throughout your surgical journey, whether it's a cosmetic surgery journey or any type of surgery. You know, a good diet is very important for everyday living, and it's especially important in preparing for plastic surgery. Surgery causes a lot of stress and trauma and depletes many nutrients, and a good diet plays a vital role in your recovery. I think it's even more important factor the older you are because it takes longer to heal. My own experience is that I consider myself a healthy female. I try to exercise. I try to eat right. I take supplements. And prior to my cosmetic surgery, I continued to take my vitamins and essential oils. I stopped the ones that could cause excessive bleeding 2 weeks before my surgery. My doctor gave me a list and some he wasn't comfortable with. And after my surgery, I was so surprised at how to gain my strength back. I think every patient should be counseled on proper nutrition for before and after a procedure. I am delighted to have with us today Denver board certified plastic surgeon Dr. Gregory Buford. Are you there, Dr. Buford?
I sure am, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Dr. Buford specializes in non-invasive and cosmetic plastic surgery procedures and is board-certified in anti-aging restorative medicine. He is also an NPC men's physique competitor. Dr. Buford is nationally recognized judge for the Miss America Foundation and has been a featured guest expert on numerous television talk shows, plastic surgery websites, books, magazines, and newspapers. And he is also the author of Beauty and the Business. Wow, you have a very interesting background. Not only are you a cosmetic surgeon, plastic surgeon, but you're trained in anti-aging restorative medicine and a bodybuilder. That's a really great combination. You know, how did you get interested in all this?
You know, I think I have way too much time on my hands, probably what it amounts to, and I've got a lot of things that capture my interest, but a lot of this actually, if you look at a lot of things that I've done, both in my professional and my personal life as well too, they actually blend together very nicely. As a plastic surgeon, I've been in practice for about 13, going on 14 years. My practice is entirely cosmetic. You know, I focus mostly on breast enhancement and secondary breast revision, as well as body contouring and very high volume of injectables. But during the course of practicing, I noticed that what we were doing is just basically not comprehensive. In other words, you know, as plastic surgeons, we're trained to perform procedures very well, to give our patients great results, but then we'd send them out without any idea of how to not only maintain those results, but also how to prevent the process of aging, but how to prevent getting back to where they were before when they came in to see me. So I actually began counseling my patients several years ago on healthy nutrition, on supplementation, on things that they could actually use to not only get a great result, but get a great result for the long run. So doing that, go ahead, Seth, I'm sorry.
No, no, I was just going to say that's very interesting because most plastic surgeons, you know, they never really advise you on nutrition. That's a big piece that's missing when you come in for a consult, when you follow up, and even post-surgery. And yet it's so important to prepare your body prior to any surgical procedure.
It's huge. I mean, you know, if you look at it, what we look like on the outside is really a direct manifestation of how healthy we are on the inside. You know, your skin, for example, the largest organ in the body, if you don't maintain a good nutritional plan, if your lifestyle factors prohibit you from healing well, from demonstrating good vitality, your skin is not going to look great. And so simply to come in and have a patient undergo a laser peel, a chemical peel, fillers, Botox, so forth, and not address what's going on the inside that actually caused that accelerated aging, in my mind, it's actually just not a good way to practice medicine. And I think that, you know, my prediction is in the next 5-10 years, plastic surgery is going to head in an entirely different direction. I think, you know, we've been so focused on technology and the latest gadget and the latest advance in lasers and stem cell therapy and so forth. When in reality, if we get down to basics, it's huge. It's really huge. I mean, if you take a patient that comes in that wants to look more youthful and you perform a great procedure on he or she, and then you send them out not only with a great result but also with advice to actually help slow down the aging process, those results are going to look even better. And when those results look better, guess what? I look great because every patient walks out of my office is a billboard. They really are. I mean, and I think – you know, every plastic surgeon and every dermatologist, facial plastic surgeon, anybody in this area really needs to recognize the importance of the long-term results. You know, I heard an interview with actually a friend of mine yesterday, a very successful businessman. He was talking about the difference between long-term decisions and short-term decisions and the fact that, you know, in the end, the long-term decisions are what you really need to look at. And I think in plastic surgery, we need to look at the long-term solutions. So in reality, just simply giving someone a result that's going to last for 6 months, that's not going to cut it. And it's in the end, your patients are very, very smart. They're educated. I live in Denver, Colorado, where, you know, there's a huge interest in anti-aging and in being fit. I saw a patient yesterday for breast enhancement. 69 years old, who is an active runner. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm enthused by that. It's great. I mean, no longer is age is simply a number, and age is a mindset. And how you live, there's a great quote by Abraham Lincoln referring to, I think the quote went something like, in the end, what really matters is not the years in your life, but the life in your years. And that's really becoming more and more true. You know, it's how you live, and what we do as plastic surgeons is great, but if we can give our patients an extra leg up by combining nutrition and helping them actually extend the results, that's huge. And then referring to the healing, you mentioned that as well. What I'm finding is I'm actually putting my patients I started this a few years ago because I work with a lot of the NPC competitors. NPC is basically just bodybuilding figure, bikini, and so forth. Which I'm actually a competitor, believe it or not. what I've seen is that these patients came in for procedures, and when they left, they healed dramatically. They healed well. Their scars looked better. Their tissue healed faster. It was amazing. And this was not just one patient. This was not one anecdotal, you know, response. This was not one story. This was several patients. Patient after patient after patient was doing better. And so what I began doing is I started integrating a nutritional plan into my post-op and pre-op protocols. And so I check nutrition, I check labs that direct me to the nutritional status of my patients. I put them on protein supplementation. I supplement with something called glutamine. Glutamine is actually used by the bodybuilding world to maintain muscle. What most people don't realize is it also is the main fuel source for the cells in your bowel. And so what interrupts your bowel? Well, basically stress. What's the biggest stress you can have? Surgery. surgery is one of the most traumatic experiences your body can encounter. So if you actually feed your body well, it's going to respond well. And so what I'm trying to do is basically stack the odds in the favor of my patients. So when they're in their healing period, they're getting enough protein, they're getting enough nourishment that I can hopefully make the – I talk about the post-op period being as boring as possible. I mean that, and I want that to be as smooth as possible. And many of these patients actually go on to continue using the protein supplementation and the various recommendations I make for a long time thereafter. So I think it's really a win-win situation. It's really the future of plastic surgery.
So a couple things that you said that are very striking. Well, first of all, the fact that you feel that cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery, is going to go a little bit of a different direction, that there's going to be more of a focus on the total body, more of a total focus rather than just on, as you said, fillers and Botox and the technology, but what about what goes in your body? So do you really find that your colleagues are starting to get more interested in nutrition and that there's this agreement that we really need to treat the patient as an entire body, rather than just one specific aspect of it?
You know, to answer that question, those physicians that are progressive do embrace this. Those physicians that are just out to be busy don't, because they don't care. They just want to, and I would say, in defense of most of my world of medicine here, I think most physicians are actually hungry for this information. The problem is they're not getting it. If you look at most of the society meetings, there's no information on nutrition. It's if you look at the rosters, if you look at the schedules of the meetings, what's the biggest focus? What's the latest and greatest laser technique? That's the number one focus.
Technology.
Technology, exactly. And technology is great, but it's so one-dimensional. Okay, I think what's happening is we're not seeing the big picture. We're seeing all these – we're chasing the shiny object. And the shiny object is all this high-tech technology when in reality – instead of focusing on the lasers, I'm telling them to eat their Brussels sprouts and eat their vegetables and eat their lean meats, which sounds crazy, but guess what? What your mother told you 20 years ago was smart, right? I mean, the average American diet is so ridiculously horrible. And what we consider normal in terms of health, it's really, to me, is unacceptable. So what I try to do is, I hope I serve as a catalyst for my patients to step up their degree of health, so that when they come in, they not only learn how to get through the recovery period even easier, but also hopefully they walk away with some tips that will actually help them live the rest of their life in a much more fruitful and a much more enjoyable manner.
And it makes so much sense. It sounds like every surgical practice should have a nutrition on staff.
Oh, I agree.
Hire a nutritionalist and have that part of the whole pre-op and post-op surgery process, and just bundle that into whatever the fee structure is, because that is such an important aspect. I did want to ask you though a question. A lot of surgeons are concerned about, excuse me, what patients are going to ingest in their bodies prior to surgery because of increasing risk of bleeding, blood clots, over-the-counter vitamins. There's these nutritional vitamins, pre- and post-op preparations that you can buy that have different ingredients to reduce levels of swelling, inflammation, and bruising. How do you feel about all this? I mean, do you think that, yes, there's certain vitamins that you really do have to stay away from? Is this more hype? Is this more fear? Is it reality?
I'll tell you, to answer that, I'll use one word, confusion. I can't even talk here. It's confusing and then confusion. I'm confused. No, what happens is there's so much information on the Internet that patients go on and they consult Dr. Google. Okay, they search and they get information, and they, probably 1% of what they read is actually factual, and the rest of it, 99%, is absolute nonsense. It's either erroneous or absolutely downright incorrect. So what I tell my patients basically is there are a number of herbs that actually and vitamins that actually do increase the risk for bleeding, and there's a whole page of them. The more common ones, for example, fish oils. Fish oils definitely increase your risk for bleeding. I have my patients stay off of those for about 2 weeks before surgery, but then 4 days after surgery, I put them right back on. Why? Because those are probably some of the best compounds. I put them on an omega-369 combination, okay? So they're getting a great balance. That's probably the best anti-inflammatory you can put them on. It's wonderful. And what anti-inflammatories do after surgery is they mop up all the cellular debris that we caused during the surgery. Before surgery, I also recommend that they be off garlic, they're off vitamin E. Those are probably the main ones that cause the problems. You know, other ones such as stimulants, a lot of people are on fat burners. You know, those can cause issues with anesthesia. You know, it's really important to understand what your patients are on. And the problem nowadays is that, you know, my patients, I mean, I can tell you, being from Denver, Colorado, I mean, my patients are on a slew of medications. They come in and they're on, you know, they're on a slew of nutraceuticals. They're on maybe one or two medications, and they're on, you know, all kinds of herbs and all kinds of supplements. So you really have to understand what works and what doesn't, and what can impede the healing process and what can actually help it. So what
so
I
So do you have
do,
them
I,
stop them all before surgery, or are there some that are that you consider to be more relatively safe?
You know, I haven't stopped specific ones. I mean, I think the main ones that we see an issue with are for anesthetic issues, it's the fat burners, because a lot of these, I hate to say, we don't know what's in them. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, the stimulants that, you know, they can cause issues during surgery itself. As far as the basic supplements, though, probably the main ones I worry about are vitamin E, garlic, fish oils. You know, there's a number of other ones that make other minor contributions as well, too. I've never seen anything that causes a huge degree of problems. But the problem is, as well, too, you don't know what strength your patients are on with respect to these nutraceuticals. You know, a lot of patients will, if they see a, you know, for example, fish oils, they'll see if, you know, they see an article, they'll say that fish oils are great for you, they're great for your inflammation, great for your brain, great for your heart. And so instead of taking one dose a day, they'll take three or four. So it's not important not only to ask what they're on, but also how much of that they're on as well, too. So you can determine, you know, what the relative risk of bleeding really is. And then also, too, relative risk, you know, with respect to the specific procedure that you're performing.
Garlic. I've never heard of that one before. What
are
you talking about, garlic. Eating garlic or garlic supplements?
No, garlic supplements. I mean, you'd have to eat so much garlic. I mean, if you're, like, for example, a great garlic supplement that everyone should be on is Kyolic aged garlic. That's phenomenal. It's great for, it actually has been shown to improve cholesterol. It's been shown to reverse plaques. But that's very concentrated garlic. I mean, really, if you're consuming garlic, unless you're on a, you know, on a crazy diet where you're eating, you know, several cloves a day, which I don't think most people are, just simply consuming it, you know, you're fine. The same thing with red wine as well, too. It's interesting. We always talk about, you know, having our patients stop drinking red wine. In reality, and I don't want to advocate, you know, patients drinking red wine before surgery, but to get the relative bleeding risk with red wine, you really have to drink a lot. You really do. I mean, you have to be consuming pretty high volume. So, you know, I do tell my patients to be realistic, and I try to get them to be as honest as they are as possible in terms of, again, not only what they're on, but also on how much, you know, what the dosing on all these things are as well, too. But garlic is definitely, as a capsule, as a supplement, it can be an issue.
I never knew that. That's interesting. So what are some tips that you can give listeners in terms of post-op recovery, to have a strong post-op recovery with supplements, diet? Because like I said, I mean, I was so surprised personally how weak I felt. And I consider myself, you know, pretty healthy, and I was doing the protein and I was doing the vitamins, but still my recovery was a lot harder than I expected it would have been.
You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, it really depends on the surgery that you're having. I mean, for example, if I'm, let's talk about a tummy tuck. You know, we do a tummy tuck procedure where we're tightening the muscle and, you know, we're pulling down skin. And most importantly, we're tightening muscle. And so because of that, you feel like you're wearing a corset for the first couple of weeks. Patient's a bigger procedure, time-wise, and also, too, you know, in terms of the extensiveness of the surgery itself. But most patients don't have a big appetite after surgery. It can be because of the procedure. It can be because of the degree of it, the anesthesia. So most of these patients I'm putting on protein supplementation, protein shakes. So I actually write out a formula that I have, very basic, and it's it incorporates basically 2 to 3 and maybe up to 4 protein shakes a day, about 30 grams of protein with that. Whey protein is what I recommend. You know, if someone's, you know, a vegetarian, there are vegan formulas out there as well, too. If someone has a very sensitive gut, you can use rice or pea protein as well, too. I don't advocate soy. Soy tends to bloat you, which is the, you know, worst thing after a tummy tuck. But with that, you know, I recommend adding to that, you know, a scoop of glutamine. 5 grams of glutamine a day is really sufficient. You can throw in some berries as well, too, because you're getting some natural sugar. Okay, not a lot, but a little bit. Throw a banana in there if you want as well, too. Throw a yogurt in as well. You know, in addition to that, I recommend probiotics as well, too. I mean, we're putting all of our patients, too, on, you know, on antibiotics, both, you know, before and after surgery. We're wiping out probably some of the best stuff in the body. It's horrible for our body. I mean, so we're cleaning out exactly what we need. So a good probiotic is important as well, too. You can either, you know, take a liquid probiotic and throw it in your shake or just take a capsule or two a day. But protein is, I think, is huge. Protein is definitely huge. Plenty of water as well, too. Water to basically cleanse out your system as well, too, of all the cellular debris. I mean, when we, you know, any surgery we do, we create debris. We create inflammation. We need to wash that out. Many patients go into surgery very dehydrated as well, too. And there's fluid shifts. So, you know, drinking enough water after surgery is important as well, too. You know, there's other supplements as well, too. Coenzyme Q10, which was great for cellular energy, is phenomenal after surgery as well, too. Carnitine as well, too, is another one, L-carnitine. It actually gives you energy at the cellular level. It affects your mitochondrial respiration. Mitochondria are little organs that called organelles that basically provide us energy, and they become depleted. And so, you know, like you were saying, you know, you go through a stressful event and you have hormonal changes, or cortisol goes up and your, you know, stress hormones kick in. And, you know, then we wonder as surgeons, you know, why our patients aren't eating. Well, they're not eating because everything changes in their body. So we need to really provide a systematic plan that will allow them to actually absorb those nutrients and get in the right nutrients right after surgery. So they're you know, they're going to feel better, but as importantly, they're going to heal better. You know, I can tell you that the worst thing I've seen is patients, especially the tummy tucks that have come in, and when I've really queried them, you know, they've eaten a meal a day and that's it. And they wonder why their incisions are not healing as well. Whereas the other patients that come in, you know, that are eating very well. I saw a patient actually this week that I did an eyelid surgery on that I literally had to do a double check on the chart because I thought she was 2-3 weeks out. Her incisions looked beautiful. She's on a high-protein diet. She actually took her own sutures out against my knowledge, but she took them out. And I literally looked at her, and I really had to do a double take. She looks amazing. Her swelling had gone down. There was minimal to no bruising. And I'll tell you what, I'll take a little credit, but a lot of the credit has to do with what she was doing. She was eating well. It makes a huge difference.
Wow.
You know, so we can.
This is great. I mean, this is so much information about nutrition and that, you know, most surgeons don't tell you all this information. Do you have some of this on your website? I know we're almost running out of time, and I would love to talk longer about all this because this is a wealth of information that I think everyone needs to know. It's just critically important. I know that you have some supplements on your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. I do. You know what? I'm actually in the process right now of adding on a more of a systematic plan. I'm actually writing a book as well too, and that should be out probably in the next 6 months. But in the meantime, you know what I would encourage everyone to do? I have a Facebook presence. It's basically Facebook. It's Beauty by Buford on Facebook. All you have to do is like the page. It costs you absolutely nothing. If you want to subscribe to the newsletter, it costs you absolutely nothing. And I basically what I do is I write some of my own articles, and then on a daily basis I usually post 2 or 3 articles from around the web on good nutrition, on basically what works, what doesn't, myths, fallacies, but it's just good information. I think you know, the trouble, and you touched upon this earlier, is that there is so much information out there right now that most people, including physicians, I mean, we were not trained in this. That's why I went ahead and got my my certification in anti-aging medicine, because I wanted to be able to actually speak intelligently. We don't get trained in this, and that's the biggest problem. Your doctor probably, it's not that they don't want to share this information with you, they just don't know this information.
They don't know it.
They don't know it. It's really scary out there. So if you really want to get the greatest results, you know, really pay attention to not only how well your physician is trained in what they do procedurally, but also in how they manage you before and after surgery as well too, because those physicians that really treat the patient as a whole are going to they're going to stand out among the crowd, and those are the patients that are actually on the cutting edge, or the physicians that are on the cutting edge.
Now, what's your opinion about, I know Nick Perricone, Dr. Perricone, talks a lot about nutrition and skin and health. Is that a good resource for people to look at?
Oh, yeah. I think Dr. Perricone was way ahead of his time. You know, I think, you know, it's interesting because a lot of guys, like a lot of physicians like Dr. Perricone, there were others as well, too, there's a great book by a friend of mine, Sean Phillips, of EAS. He was one of the founders of EAS, talk about the importance of nutrition. You can't, you know, it's all about a holistic, comprehensive approach to the body. You can't just do one thing. There is no magic pill. It's all about looking at everything as a whole, okay? And so if you go through a stressful event, which surgery is a stressful event, you need to address that stress. And your body has increased demands for protein. It has increased demands for various minerals, various supplements, and you simply have to provide those. And in the past, we haven't done that, and then we've scratched our heads and wondered why, you know, a procedure that went so well didn't go so well 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, you know? And so I think that's, again, that's really the future of medicine, something you're going to be seeing in the next, in the coming years.
Do you think that also has an effect on how scars heal as well?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I mean, I'll say it's, you know, the downside of it is scar healing is actually very complicated. In reality, your patients that are actually immunosuppressed and actually not as healthy, I hate to say it, tend to heal with great scars because the scars are faded and they're not very robust. I mean, a scar is simply your body's way of closing up an incision or a wound or what have you. And if, without that, it would just simply open up. So the process long term, yeah, I actually do see much better healing. But initially, there's actually a more robust inflammatory response in my patients that are actually more healthy, just because their immune system is so revved up and so vital. It's so robust. So, you know, you have to look at the long-term picture. There's not, you know, again, it's a little bit more complicated. And what I look at is you have to identify, you know, okay, that's a scar that maybe is red right now, but is that because the scar is not heading in the right direction, or is it just that this person is so revved up that, you know, in the long run, they're going to heal beautifully, but initially that their systems are on, you know, are running at full strength, which is what you want them to run at, versus someone that's, you know, immunosuppressed and not, you know, is a smoker or is a, you know, someone that's nutritionally depleted. Which I hate to say it.
We are running out of time, Dr. Buford. This is very interesting, and I thank you so much for sharing all this on Blog Talk Radio and on the NipTuck Coach Show. And listeners can visit beautybybuford.com and also follow Beauty by Buford on Twitter. And please check out Dr. Buford's Facebook page. And please join us next week on the NipTuck Radio Show. We'll be talking to Bay Area dermatologist Dr. Christine Lee. And Dr. Buford, thank you so much again. There's a wealth of information that you've given us. And you can listen to this episode on iTunes and download it to listen to it again. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the NipTuck Coach Radio. Join us next week for another exciting program about the world of cosmetic surgery and beauty. To learn more about Michelle Garber, go to www.niptuckcoach.com. To consult with Michelle directly, call 415-494-7211.